Welcome to The Plants We Eat, an investigation into the surprising history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. My name is Jeff Gilman. I'm the director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and a plant history nut.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, part-time instructor at Central Piedmont Community College in Charlotte and a garden coach landscape professional.
Did you change that up from last time
a little bit? I did. You know, kind of just what I feel like each time we do this.
Sounds good. So today we've got, and you'll pardon me for doing this, but we've got chia.
Chia, I know. I mean, you stole that from me.
You can say it too if you want to.
Chia.
So this was a fascinating plant. I've never really looked at this in any deep way before. And as soon as I spent 3 minutes on it, I was like, wow, this thing's incredible. First of all, I want to start off by saying...
This was my idea.
This was your idea. Yes. That's what I want to start off by saying. It's your idea.
Uh-huh.
And it is so much different botanically than I thought it was. You know, look, I've seen chia pets for years. I see these little sprouts. I thought it was either a grass or some kind of a bean-type legume.
Or a soybean or sprout,
or
which
sprout,
it is.
Right.
But it can be.
It's not. It is a type of salvia. Now, mostly we try not to use scientific names here. It just gets complicated. But I say salvia because many of you are gardeners and you'll know what salvias are because they're these ornamentals that you put into your yard. All kinds of different colors, all kinds of different looks. If you're looking for a more common name for salvia, sometimes sage is used, although technically sage really isn't all salvias. It's just a few
well,
of the
Well, some
salvias.
Of us say salvia.
And that's what I should be saying right now, salvia.
Salvia. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just... go off into different pronunciations
That's
just
okay.
in case we have.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But yes, but the salvia is such a beloved genus. You know, it's huge, and there's so many different applications, whether it's just ornamental or herb, and it's from the mint family, you mm-hmm. know, which is fun. And it
square stems.
Square stems. That's an ID characteristic.
And usually has smelly leaves.
Mm-hmm. And spiky flowers.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Mostly are blue, and of course, there's some reds and whites, but mostly are blue. Purple, and they're beautiful.
They're long blooming. They're about depending on who you listen to, there's mm-hmm. somewhere in the realm of 1,000 different species of these salvias.
In fact, I have a whole book of them right here.
That's you brought it in.
I did a book of salvias.
Is that Betsy?
Yes, Klebrich.
Betsy Klebrich. Klebrich. Okay.
Excuse me if I pronounce that wrong.
But. Anyway, if you don't want to get into the chia, if you are a gardener, salvia, you're probably already familiar with, and if you're not, you should be. It really does belong in almost every garden.
So I have to admit, I had to throw away. My husband made me throw away like 3. Chia pets before we move.
Are you serious?
I'm like really depressed now.
I've seen them around, but I never actually purchased one. What makes chia special, as you know, anybody who has ever had a chia pet should know, is the seed.
Well, do you eat the seed? Have you tried
it? I have not eaten the
okay,
seed.
Okay, so being somebody who is trying to eat better mm-hmm. as I age, and mm-hmm. it's noted as somewhat of a superfood now, mm-hmm. and chia seed was really only available to the masses as a chia pet, and now you can find the seed all over the place. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite ways, now they do recommend that you can sprinkle it on your cereal, oatmeal, mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ways to eat it is to put a tablespoon or two in a cup of almond milk and let it sit for 15 minutes.
And is it all pudding. Slimy then?
Well, it makes it like a gelatin pudding, mm-hmm. if you will. You can put protein powder in it or something, and it's a great snack.
Well, and this in and of itself requires a little bit of explaining because you have to understand that the chia seed is surrounded by mucilage, which will hold 12 times its weight in water.
Yes.
So it's surrounded by this slimy stuff. Uh-huh. And actually, and we'll get back to this, that's the reason that it's able to stick on to these clay figurines, because this mucilage actually sticks mm-hmm. to the clay.
Well, so when I used to spread that on the clay figurines, I mm-hmm. thought that they put some kind of, surfactant in it to, mm-hmm. to make it adhere to the clay figurines, but it was a natural thing.
Exactly. So chia seeds have been eaten for thousands and thousands of years. Chia is native, actually, to through South America mm-hmm. and South, I should say South and Central America, mm-hmm. particularly the southern part of Mexico. And actually, it's a Mexican tribe, the Tarahumara, who drink something called Isquiati, and I know I'm butchering all these terms, for which I apologize, which is basically lemon with chia and water. So a little bit of a citrus with chia and water. And after they drink this, they're supposed to be able to run for hundreds of miles. And there's actually been studies done looking at chia and how it compares to an energy drink in terms of getting carbs to the body. Mm-hmm. And chia does seem to be equal to an energy drink. It's mm-hmm. not this amazing superpower, right. you know, food, but chia or an energy drink, which is healthier.
It can help in recipes where folks have egg allergies, too.
You can use it instead of...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the proportions, but...
It's relatively high mm-hmm. in protein. It is definitely, you know, I hate the term superfood because that...
I know, it's overused.
It's overused, but mm-hmm. it is definitely high in various nutrients. In terms of fiber, it really is a great source of fiber.
Well, what it helps with is diet control in that you can get the same nutrients from a small amount, you know, mm-hmm. so you're not eating as much, you know, food to get the same amount of stuff.
Now, I did find one drawback to eating a lot of chia, which I thought was really, really interesting, which I want to share. And as I searched around, I found this repeated numerous times. If you eat chia dry and, you know, what'll happen is it'll actually absorb some of the liquid in your mm-hmm. stomach. It can actually lead to some terrible cramping. Mm-hmm. So chia is not something to eat dry without plenty of fluids. You want to make sure you're hydrated
yes.
while you're eating your chia.
I wouldn't eat it crushed either. It has a nutty flavor when it's whole, uh-huh. but crushed is bitter, and you can buy it crushed. And I don't know what the purpose is, but it's...
It just doesn't do anything for you?
It's bitter. And mm-hmm. it's not good.
Chia means, the word chia actually means something close to or underwater from the same people from southern Mexico. So chia actually, you know, its name actually associates it with the water that it's most closely related to. And chia was actually a staple food of the Aztecs. And they don't know exactly how frequently it was used, but mm-hmm. some historians believe that it was used as widely as maize, as corn, mm-hmm. which I thought was absolutely amazing.
Have you ever
amazing.
Seen it harvest?
I have never seen
a harvest. Okay, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I understand why it would be harvested like corn.
Well, the most interesting part of the history, I have to admit, I thought was the chia pet. And it's a brief but really interesting story. And uh-huh. it's really easy to find out what happened to the chia pet in the United States. But what's harder to find is the history of the chia pet before it came to the United States, because the chia pet is not an American invention. Well, at least not a North American invention. It's actually a Mexican invention. And that's the thing that I find so fascinating. And what's often lost in our discussion of the fascinating chia pet. So in Mexico, they have many festival days. Like one of the most famous is Day of the Dead. And you've probably heard of Day of the Dead. Well, there are many other festival type days. And a particular one that they deal with is a day celebrating Our Lady of Sorrows. You've heard of Our Lady yes. of Sorrows for Mary, right? So on the days leading to Good Friday, an altar is actually created to honor Our Lady of Sorrows. And it's called the Altar of Sorrows. And on this altar, sprouted seeds are placed. Now, this isn't just chia, mm-hmm. but a lot of different seeds are placed, and they'll actually sprout things in preparation for mm-hmm. this day or for this celebration. The chia has special meaning because the mucilage around the seed, which absorbs so much water, is actually said to resemble the Virgin's tears. And so this is a central theme to this altar that's been done for at least hundreds of years. It's actually thought that these celebrations, although now they're centered around the Christian God, it's actually thought that these sort of things were done for other gods prior to the Christian God. Mm-hmm. But for today, it's done, you know, primarily for this altar of sorrows. This was then seen by this guy, Walter Huston, and Walter Huston saw this and brought it to—this was actually created in Mexico— So the chia things were created in Mexico and brought to the United States. The first was introduced in 1977, and this was actually chia guy. So we see all these chia pets. It actually started as a guy. So chia guy was introduced in 1977 by Walter Huston, who didn't succeed very well financially. Certainly he brought the chia pet here, but he didn't do very well financially. So Joseph Pidot bought the company, and he made it big. A ram was introduced in 1982, and that was really the beginning of the chia craze. About 500,000 chia pets are still sold annually. Joseph Pidot, who I just mentioned, he's famous not only for the chia pet, but also for the clapper.
Oh my gosh! I didn't see that coming.
You know, some of these guys, they get a few good ideas and they make their money off them. So
I love it.
I thought that was pretty cool. So chia, all in all, is just a fascinating food, fascinating history with the chia pet, truly unique because of that mucilage around that seed, and just a really interesting plant, which I've had almost no history with. And now that I've done a little bit of research into it, you know, I can't wait to try it in a smoothie.
I feel a little bit responsible for that.
You are responsible for that.
Usually you're more excited about the food part than I am. I'm excited about how to grow it.
And, you know, something I'm excited because of the fascinating chia pet history and the clapper, I mean.
The clapper.
And the place where it came from, you know, having it come from Mexico originally and us just taking it over as just this novelty. Really interesting.
Yes.
But doesn't it also show you, really, how easily we could grow more food if we wanted to?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, it's not easy sometimes. Our space doesn't allow, or our time doesn't allow. But the thing about the chia seed is it's so widely available, fairly inexpensively at the grocery store. But if you want to grow it, it's really easy. Now, unlike most salvias that are perennial, this Mexican salvia is what it's called, the common name, is an annual. And it can grow up to 4 feet tall.
So it's an annual in Mexico. It's an annual.
Yeah, and it's an annual, but it self-seeds so readily. So people might think it's a perennial, but technically it's an annual.
And tell me something. If a seed just drops on a brick, is it just going to grow?
Well,
I mean, it's got that mucilage, so it's going to stick to it.
It is. But so what's kind of fun is if you look online about how to grow chia seeds, you're bombarded with not the chia pets per se, but the chia pet approach to growing it, where you just have sprouts. But if you want to enjoy it in the garden, you can. It can be a 4 foot tall blooming annual in 1 year. And you can, now there's machinery, of course, like combines that harvest it. And so they literally harvest it like wheat. And that seed rattles around in the stalk like a rattle.
Really?
Yes. And then it drops into a bin and then they process it from there. But at home, you could grow this very easily and acquire seed from it if you want to. And I'll be real quick on how to do that. So you can buy seeds and you're going to need well-drained soil like everything else. You'll need full sun, you know, at least 4 to 6 hours.
Is it drought tolerant at all?
It's a drought tolerant plant like all most salvias are. And it's going to bloom in late spring, and you can, towards the end of the year, as the plants start to turn that wheat color, and it may even happen right after frost, depending on what part of the country you're in, you literally cut it, and you're going to lose some seed doing so, but it mass produces so much seed because the flowering stalks are about 1 foot long.
Wow.
And there's like, how many flowers are on there? Hundreds, thousands on
one. It's like any typical salvia.
So each one has a little seed in it. And so not only by cutting it down, you're going to drop some in your garden, but you're going to have a bowl or something to catch the remaining seeds in your stalk. And then you're going to have some husky stuff part of it. And if you have a mesh, you can get rid of the husky part. And then the remaining seed left over, leave in a bowl in a shady area and let it dry for a couple of days. And you could have, you know, chia seeds that you grew yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not going to be very many like you could buy for $5 or $6.
Right.
But it's fun, you know, if it's fun. I mean, I think this is a great kid project. This is another food you can grow that's not, you know, some of the things we've talked about can be a little unsightly, you know, mm-hmm. but this is a, you know, this is beautiful all the way around. So I think it's a great plant to grow for flowers and for seed.
Does it have different colored flowers?
No, they're mostly blue.
Okay. And probably shades thereof.
Yes, and shades. And that I don't see many cultivars, you know, come out. But this reminds me a little bit of when we talked about peanuts,
mm-hmm.
you know, that scientists had developed a way to market this product because it has so much nutritional value.
Right.
And that's how peanuts are so widely used in our areas.
And if we ever started taking an interest in chia, it actually, or a bigger interest in chia, it actually sounds like it'd be a relatively easy crop for us to, you know, aggressively breed in a way that would produce even more seed.
Yeah, I think so. But it's new. When you think about what, just
it's been
5 years ago,
used by the Aztecs.
Buying it? Like, I bought it from Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that if it's at Walmart, it's in the marketplace, I think. So
good point.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's been used for thousands and thousands of years.
Yes, it has.
This has been a production of UNC Charlotte and the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens. Alex Frizzell of UNC Charlotte's Isle Group helped us with the audio, and Alex Chapin was our IT guy with College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Thanks, and we look forward to talking with you next week.